Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, who is with us, maybe not physically, but he's live and direct from our studio in La Paz, Baja California, sir. And then I believe, where in the heck is Catherine? I think she's in Portland. Catherine, where are you, by the way?
Oh, well, I'm in California this week.
Oh, okay.
I think I was in Bermuda last time we spoke.
That's correct. You were, and that was a couple months ago. Well, Catherine, you know, it's might be a little complicated, and I don't want to get it wrong, but What a Catch is something that Catherine is very much involved in. Catherine is very much a lady angler, and she likes to promote lady anglers. So, Catherine, would you mind just giving us a kind of quick overview about what you do?
Well, I've had a hard time finding fishing buddies, and that's because not enough women are fishing. And they're not fishing, not because they don't want to, it's just that they have a lot of other obligations, and finding me time is always last on the list. So it's a little tougher to get women to play hooky, take the day off, and spend the day floating a river or walking a river or, dreaming about fish. So I work really hard to get women out fishing. I run an organization called Casting for Recovery Canada, where we take women on all-expense-paid fishing adventures. And also, I just work really hard to promote women in the sport. So if a woman ends up on the cover of a magazine, I make sure that I share that with all my friends. And I have I spend way too much time on Facebook, so that's one of my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
To spend a little less time on Facebook.
Well, you know, Grizz and I were talking a little bit earlier about what we're going to be talking about today. And one of those things, or the things that we're kind of thinking that we might talk about, was, you know, your 2012, you know, the most memorable trip you've had. And then the bucket list for 2013, what is it we would like to scratch off our list? And you just gave me a great idea. How about if I get one of those free trips with lady anglers?
No, John.
I'm up for that one. I'm trying to picture you in a skirt. What do you think, Grizz? Can he wear a skirt? Can he pull
no,
it off?
No, he's ugly in shorts. You don't want to put a skirt on him. Believe me, I've seen it. Sometimes I have a hard time not to gag.
Okay.
So don't put a skirt on him.
Okay. Anyway, we want to hear more about it, but to get back to what I just mentioned, is there anything outstanding that you can think of for 2012? I know that you've had a lot of physical setbacks, and I don't know how much fishing you've been able to get in, but is there anything about 2012 that you find memorable?
Well, I had a really special standout fishing trip to Iceland.
Hmm.
And I celebrated a significant birthday. Not that significant, but significant enough that it was worth making note of.
So you turned 30?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, something like that. God bless you. And I celebrated my birthday with one of my heroes, and his name is Ori Vigfusson, and he's saving the Atlantic salmon. And he was born on the same day in a different year, but we share a birthday. And I sat with him while he celebrated his 70th birthday, and I celebrated my 30th birthday. And it was wonderful to imagine, because I wouldn't have ever imagined as a young girl that I would have Icelandic friends. You know, the world is a much smaller place these days because of computers and the internet. But I can't imagine any other place I would have wanted to be on my 30th
birthday.
That
sounds absolutely wonderful.
Yes. And the other
cold,
thing of,
but
of,
wonderful.
The other, well, yes, it is. Does get quite cold even in the summer at times. But the other thing that was special about that birthday is I shot a show promoting hookless fishing, and this is something that I've been doing for years. But I fish and bend the hooks back, so I feel the take and I get the rod bend, but I'm not.
So much for that. Hey, Grizz.
Hey, yeah. She just, that's, And she talks on the phone, and she talks, but doesn't really get out there.
Well, we're gonna try and get through to her again real
that
quick.
That sounds very interesting, don't you think, John?
Yeah, it is, very much so. Hold on just one quick second. But anyway, the whole point of what we're talking about is, first of all, is getting the ladies out there. And as she mentioned, a lot of times women are interested, but they're intimidated. And that's why some of the groups that are coming together that promote women, and they can work with women.
Yeah, well, I can work with women and promote them. I like them.
I know.
I mean, I'm happy to take women fishing.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody that's that is say being just introduced to it, it's a lot more fun to take fishing. Is it?
Yeah, like I took my daughter out. She got her marlin. I mean, that was a wonderful experience.
Oh, that's
you
right.
were there.
Yeah, that's right. This is this last year.
You were there, and yeah. we took Kathy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we took two women out, and they both caught big fish. Remember
yeah.
that, John?
Yes, we did. And we're going to ask you, and this doesn't count if Charlie caught it. We're going to ask you a little bit later what your biggest event was in 2012. But right now, I think we've got Catherine back on the line with us.
Oh, that's great.
Catherine?
Hi, I'm back.
Oh,
what a catch.
Yeah, what a catch.
Yeah, that's what
anyway.
Happens when you use a hookless hook.
Yeah.
I was washed downstream.
Yeah. Now,
yeah, but thank God you swam back up.
Okay, Catherine, the other question is, you know, as we talk about a bucket list, in other words, before you kick the bucket, there's a list of things you want to get done. And what's the next on your list?
Well, I do keep a bucket list, and I dream about catching the Nile perch. You know, last time Grizz and I talked about how I got rooster fish on the roster because I was skunked when I was in Costa Rica. So I need to get a rooster fish.
I promise you one when you come down, a big one.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that. But that's
I mean, really, I'm serious.
On my bucket list.
Yeah.
And
well,
you can count
be,
on your big rooster fish.
It
right.
doesn't even have to be a big one. I just yeah. want to catch one and give it a kiss and let it go.
Okay. Well, let me just kind of mention that real quick. Rooster fish, first of all, you know, they may look a little funny, but they're beautiful fish. But what I really like is that you find rooster fish. Normally what you do is you sight fish. And you can see that comb in the water. And they tend to be close to shore in very, very clear water. With, you know, they seem for some reason, and Grizz can agree or disagree, is that when you find a beach that has rocks on the bottom and sand, that's for some reason that seems to be where you find them. And
that's because they like eat ladyfish.
Okay.
And that's a ladyfish habitat.
Oh. Okay.
Their favorite fish is ladyfish. You can catch okay. them anywhere from a few feet off of the shore
yeah.
all the way to 500 yards out.
Right.
I just wrote a big story about them, John.
That was in Coastal Angler?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I just love them. And I would be, let's put it this way, it would be an honor for me to take you out in a panga and get you one over 50 pounds.
Well, but you know what's really cool, Catherine, is that you can actually see them, you know, attacking, and you can watch them take the hit. And
well, I would get wobbly knees.
You'd be sitting down, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's all good.
Yeah, that's all good. So we're going to do that for sure. But anyway, we've got less than a minute, so let's just get some quick information from you about ladies that might be interested in going fishing.
Well, I think that the best thing to do is to call your local fishing shop and ask about classes, because the worst thing you can do is go out on the water and get frustrated because you're not quite sure what you're doing. So I think the best thing to do is call your local fly shop,
okay,
and then a whole new world will open up.
Okay.
And for those women who have done it before, they can
Catherine,
locally in their local club.
We are out of time. We appreciate that very much, but we'll be getting in touch with you so we can get some more information out. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. And Catherine, thank you very much, and I hope you get your rooster fish this year.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at Costa Baja Resort.
I wish that I was fishing on Lake Placid Bay. Sun is out, I'm doing great. It's a perfect situation. I wish that I was fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have in studio, sort of, is we have the Grizz from La Paz, Baja California, sir. And we have Eric Rangel, who's a world-renowned fly fishing guide. And he also supplies fly fishing anglers, right?
I do that on my online site. And anything fly fishing, that's me.
Okay. Well, I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we're going to think of something. And just somebody left the door open. And a good friend of mine, John Kurska, just walked in, who's one of my next-door neighbors down in the condo in Cabo San Lucas. But so we're going to maybe let him join in with us a little bit. Eric, fly fishing is not something you really think about this time of the year, but I suspect you're finding a way to do it.
Oh, yeah, John. I actually think about it year-round. I know most people don't think about it this time of the year. There's pretty much a world of opportunities in the wintertime when it comes to fly fishing, and depending on where you're living, you can do it down in the tropics. You can do it where it's a little cooler too. But it's definitely a year-round sport.
Well, I can remember catching steelhead when there was snow on the ground on a fly.
Yeah, that's kind of typical steelhead weather where you have blowing snow or rain and water's cold, but the fish are plentiful and big this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And of course, you like to do a lot of surf fishing, and you never have to drill a hole in the ice to go surf fishing.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, anywhere you have a body of water, there's probably going to be some kind of fish in it, whether it's a frozen over lake or the surf, or even inland this time of the year too. There's some pretty decent freshwater stuff going on right now.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now what I'm going out tomorrow for, Eric, is, and thanks again for those flies. I'm still catching fish off of them.
Right on, Grizz.
I'm going out for the Sierra tomorrow. You get those guys up and on a fly rod, and they're a real, real kick in the butt.
Right on, Grizz. I tell you what, one of my New Year's resolutions this year is maybe to come down and see you this year.
Well, I'm counting on that. I've been hearing that now for 2 years.
Yeah,
I'll make time. That'll be my my resolution this year, is get down and see you.
Well, Eric, just a quick thought. When people that do go down, to where Grizz is in La Paz and in Baja, which I like to get down there as often as I can, is that when you take a fly rod down, everybody talks about getting a billfish or a Dorado on a fly. But, if you take a little bit lighter equipment, there's a lot of fish that are considered kind of like junk fish, John. Things like, mentioned ladyfish and Bonito, and fish that you don't normally want to catch, but when you catch them on a fly rod, man, they are
a lot
really,
of fun.
Yeah, they fight hard.
Oh yeah, any fish on a fly rod. I mean, the extra length of the rod, the extra sensitivity. You just can't beat it. So I wouldn't say there's not much that you can't catch without that extra excitement.
Well, I mean,
I'll tell you one that'll kick your butt is a needlefish.
Yeah.
Catch one of them 4 or 5 pounds on a number 8, you know, 8-weight flyer. That thing will just literally burn your hands off.
Yeah. Now, if anybody doesn't know what that is, it, you know, it's kind of a cross between a snake and a fish, but it's...
cross.
But they, oh, they, by the way, they make good bait for pargo, too, don't they?
They make good bait for what?
Pargo.
Well, I guess if you want to chop them up, I've never done that. I've always let them go.
Put one on a hook and drop it to the bottom. But anyway, no, some of the fish that you think about, the, you know, the sailfish and the swordfish and the Dorado, the big exotic stuff, yeah, but just to go out and you know,
catch something.
Yeah, on a fly. I mean, those things are a lot of fun. But, by the way, what we'd like to do, believe it or not, we have a little bit of a theme through the show today, and that is, one of them is that 2012 and 2013. 2012, we'd like to find out what your most memorable trip or fish. And in 2013, I think you've already given us what you want to scratch off your bucket list. But let's go ahead and start with your best trip so far in 2012.
Eric dropped.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll call him back.
We lost Eric.
Yeah.
Well, geez. I mean,
We lost him.
But hey,
John, well, why don't you answer the question for us then?
Oh, most memorable trip is when I took my wife out on a little ponga and we hit a nice sailfish and, she reeled for an hour and a half and said, is the fish getting any closer? And I told her, as long as you keep reeling, it'll get closer. But she's outfished me. It seems like every time my wife's on the boat and it's her turn, she always out the fishes me. So,
right.
I mean, that's just common. And it's nice because they get to experience that too.
Right.
So, you know, you catch a nice big fish.
Well, before we lost Eric, and Bob, we still have him on the line, we're going to ask Eric about his best fishing trip or fish from 2012.
Oh, wow.
I know, we caught you off guard.
That's a tough one. Well, I'll have to say that I probably, what got me really excited was catching my big Lahontan cutthroat trout this past fall, about 23 inches. And I've always caught some small ones, but that was the first time. And those are some amazing native fish out of the Nevada area. That's been on my hit list for some time, but the 23-inch Lahontan cut was couldn't really beat
that.
That's
a good fish, a beautiful fish too.
Oh yeah, beautiful fish.
There. So, and what's on your bucket list?
Well, like I said, I'm definitely gonna make more time to get out and fish, and actually maybe get down to the tropics. Come see you and maybe do a little bone fishing. I've been trying to get back to Christmas Island out in the middle of the Pacific to do a little bit of bone fishing and giant trevally. I went there many years ago and trying to get back. That's just an amazing place to fish.
Well, have you ever got a rooster on a fly, Eric?
I have never done the rooster. No.
Well,
so that's definitely on the list. And Grizz, I'm sure you can help me out there. And
sure, I'd be happy to.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, now that the Mayan calendar's over and we can all, you know, go ahead and start over, it sounds like everybody's got some planning to do.
There you go. Okay. Is there a time of the year for roosters, Grizz?
Yeah, well, you got to get the water temperature up to about 80 degrees. If you want to catch small roosters, you can do it all year round, you know, up to 5-10 pounds. But if you want to go for those big boys, really it needs to be 80 and above. Because they like that. And that's when the sardines and stuff and the food's in and the ladyfish move in. Because, you know, their favorite food is the ladyfish.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so 80 and above, and that should come about the end of May. And at the end of May, it starts picking up. And then by June, July, and August, you're really into good fishing.
So now, Grizz, do the bigger roosters leave, and do they follow warmer water, and then the smaller ones stay
behind?
They've
got to, because we've never hooked one in, let's say, below 76 degrees. I have never hooked a fish over 15 pounds.
So
never.
So the big daddies are just staying in the warm water, and they're following all the other warm water fish.
Right. They're going where the food is.
Yeah.
You know, you'll never see a ladyfish with it. The temperature down to 76 degrees, they're gone.
That's
so
amazing.
So it's like everything else. They put up a McDonald's, and that's where the line is.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a secret spot, and as a matter of fact, there's a new development. I wouldn't call it a development. It's a new city that's called Cabo Riviera, which is La Ribera, which is in between East Cape. Well, it's in East Cape, but towards Cabo San Lucas. And right outside of their marina, that, for some reason, is always the spot. And you fished that too, haven't you?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to the Grizz.
Oh, if you're talking to the Grizz, you can bet I fish there every chance I get.
Yeah. No, for just for some reason, that's there's different spots that you can go to. In La Paz, there's a place that I know about, but I can't tell you because it's my secret spot. But you know, it's right off the mainland, about half hour or so from where you are.
But, yep, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
But up there where you're talking about, by Punta Colorado in that area,
no.
is proven now yeah. to yeah. be
oh, really?
The best and the biggest.
Okay. Well, anyway, we got Eric on the line, so let's let him join in the conversation a little bit. It sounds like we've got some good stuff coming up, and even this time of the year. What else recommendations do you have for us before we have to let you go, Eric?
Well, actually, I was going to ask Grizz, thinking like an 8, 10, and 12 weight would be ideal for all species down there?
Yeah, I would have definitely an 8, then I would have a 10, and then I would bring a 12, even a 14. Depends on what you're looking after. If you want to go for a blue, you need a 14. A 12 just isn't big enough. But a striped marlin, a 12 will handle it good.
Nice.
I catch my stripe on a 12.
Yeah. Now,
and for those big, big, big roosters, I use a 12. I wouldn't use a 9 or an 8 for any reason.
Now,
you'll break them.
Are you using a lot of floating lines down there, Grizz? Or
I'm using all floating lines.
All floating, okay. Yeah, that's good to know.
Eric, before we do let you go, you are certainly one of the premier fly fishing guides, but you also help people with equipment. Do you want to give a quick plug on how you can do that for everybody listening?
Most people can get hold of me through my website, just www.artfulangler.com. And if they have any questions, please feel free to send me an email and I can answer them. But one thing about tropical fishing, what a lot of people understand is they have to have the right gear.
Okay, Eric, it's artfulangler.com, and we're going to have to let you go. So we appreciate you coming on. We'll bring you back and have a good new year. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. We have John Kurska sitting next to us and the Grizz on the line, and we're going to be right back.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
The boss, he's looking for me. He says it's time to go to work, but I am out on the sea. Please leave your message for me. Gone fishing. Yeah.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in the studio, and we're having a party. We got John Kurska. They just kind of left the door open, and he walked in, and so we've got him sitting here. We have the Grizz, which is in La Paz, that we've been talking about, and now we have the old man of the sea.
You know, Johnny, every time you say that, I get a crink in my back.
Well, I tell you what, Pete is actually a pretty young guy. He's had a very storied career A lot of it has to do with the fishing industry, and he was, you know, one of the LA's finest for a while when he was riding a motorcycle and keeping our streets safe for us. But he spent.
Does that mean he was a Hell's Angel?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Yeah, no, but I've had a little experience with those boys. But
oh, okay. Well, you're riding a big hog, and
Nothing we can talk about on the air, Johnny.
Yeah, but anyway. No, Pete is you know, he's been the captain of a sport fishing boat. He's been a lecturer for many years. You find him at some of the outdoor expositions, giving demonstrations and seminars. And we had Pete on, I guess it was only 2 weeks ago, and we're talking about the good old days. Well,
exactly, Johnny. Yeah. You know, the good old days, in fact, the matter is, let's get into this thing. I just wrote a series of articles that are being published as we speak at Malibu Surfside News. It's just a small local newspaper there in Malibu. And two or three of the stories that I wrote, and if you would be okay, I could share with one of those stories today. Depending on how much time we have, I'll try to hasten it up. But it's about albacore fishing off Malibu between the Malibu Pier and the west end of Catalina, which we haven't seen albacore there for, I mean, we're talking about 50 years plus, but if you want to hear something along those lines, I'd be happy to talk about that or whatever else you guys want to talk about.
Well, you know, we know that things go in cycles, but we also know that some things have changed in the last 50 years because, you know, we've changed things. We've dammed up rivers without putting fish ladders in. You know, we've polluted the ocean. Yeah, your body's changed a little bit, yeah.
A lot.
And so, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear about, you know, what was happening in the 50s. And, of course, in the 50s.
Well, let me tell you what. Here was a situation where a guy by the name of Bruce Barnes, who, by the way, is of San Diego fame, he was Bill Poole's partner for many, many years. He was a young man in 1949. When my dad took me fishing on the boat GB out of Malibu for albacore, which were about, I'd say, between 10 and 15 miles offshore out in the steamer lanes between, once again, between the west or the between the west end of Catalina and the Malibu Pier. Anyway, my dad, full well knowing that a 10-year-old is not going to be able to probably get hooked up, let alone whatever, he gives me this junk to fish with. And in those days, there was no monofilament fishing line. There was no glass rods as we know them today. We were using linen fishing line and steel leaders, and that's how you went fishing. So anyway, Bruce Barnes, this guy, as a very young man, is running the GB out of Malibu. And so, you know, my dad gives me this knuckle duster reel that, you know, goes backwards and it has a leather pad on for a drag. And he's just hoping, hey, maybe the kid's not even going to get hooked up. Don't worry about it. So at any rate, one day, you know, as we're out there, once we're out there about, oh, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 hours, then all of a sudden I get hooked up. And this fish starts running, and I'm 10 years old. Hell, I don't know what to do. And so I'm pushing on the drag, and the line just disintegrates. And so Bruce Barnes comes down off the bridge, and he looks at my dad, and he takes this line, this linen line, and breaks it with his hands. And he chews my dad's butt out for I don't know how long. Hey, what are you doing giving this kid, you know, to fish with this stuff? Wait, because it's junk and blah, blah, blah. And I heard Bruce chewing out. By the way, the old man was a resident California Highway Patrolman in Malibu at the time. Anyway, so he chews him out, and I'm hearing this as a 10-year-old. And I didn't say anything. I just walked up to the pointy end of the bow and just started crying my eyes out because I was mad. I was disappointed in the whole thing. Well, Bruce sees me from the bridge over, and he knows I'm upset. So as we start off again fishing, he comes and grabs me, and he says, come here. He grabs me, and he gives me his rod and reel. And as soon as we go into a stop, he hooks a fish and hands it to me. John, it was a 22-pound albacore, and that started it all as a 10-year-old.
Wow. Pete.
But, I mean, the old man was just, I mean, he's looking at Bruce and he's just chewing him out. Boy.
Yeah.
It was something, but
it,
those days, I mean, I would just die to have those kind of days come back, Johnny, but
well,
it's just
that
not
was,
happening.
You know, that's kind of what we've been talking about is what's happening, what's going to happen next year. And I assume that I'll see you in Alaska this coming year.
Well, yeah, we're definitely going to be up there. We had one heck of a season this year. In fact, some of the boys came up and fished with me. We went south, you know, with my little boat, and the boys did very, very well. And at $29.50 a pound for halibut and fillet,
yeah,
they took home about $5,000 worth of
fish. Okay. Well,
yeah,
Pete,
Pete,
we're going to have to let you go, but it's so fun to reminisce, and then I'm going to be looking forward to fishing with you. By the way, if somebody does want to go fishing in Alaska this year, we've got a deal that when we first started, about 7-8 years ago, we started going up to Ketchikan?
Right, sure.
Well,
yeah,
the price the price is $200 cheaper than it was then. It's $14.95.
The fact of the matter is, last year they were literally giving the trips away, and now you're telling me it's $200 less than that?
Well, yeah, it's $14.95 for 5 nights, all inclusive. So,
well, you realize that those first few trips we had to buy off people so they tell us where they fish were.
There you go. Well, what we did is we took the promotions manager to Mexico with us and bought him some margaritas.
Right.
And anyway, Pete. Okay.
You rotten Johnny. That's
I know.
How you got.
That's right. That's right.
Hey,
it works.
You know what?
But it works.
There is not a better price. I promise you. And besides that, that resort is absolutely A1 top resort. I've been going up there for 22 years.
Okay. Well, anyway, give us a call or get in touch with us at fishtalkradio.com. Pete, we got to go. We're going to get a report from Tawny at Diamond Valley Lake. Thank you, Pete.
All right, bud. We'll see you later.
Okay. And I believe that we do have Tawny, hopefully, on the line. It's going to give us a little bit of a year-end report from Diamond Valley Lake. Tawny, we have you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Anyway, we got our clock a little bit off, so I'm not sure how much time we have. But why don't you give us a quick rundown?
Well, it's been good fishing, even though it's been pretty cold. The state has been stocking trout almost every day for the past couple of weeks, so it's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And, well, of course, Diamond Valley is pretty much designed for fishing. It's only been there, about 10 years or so?
Yeah, it's been about 9 or 10 years.
And it was put in, as a water source or supply. But when it was built, it was specifically built for habitat, for it to be a great fishing resource in Southern California. Okay, so give us a quick idea where it is and how to get in touch with you.
We're about 90 miles from L.A. and 90 miles from San Diego.
Okay.
And our phone number here is 951-926-7201.
Okay, and give us a little bit of more information about the lake itself.
Well, we have lots to do here. There's fishing, there's hiking, bike riding. You can rent boats, bring your own boat. Kayaking, if you have your own kayak. It's a lot to do.
Okay.
Now, Tawny, is that a no-contact, a body contact lake, or are you no body contact?
Yeah, no body contact.
And then what kind of species, if I wanted to fish, what's in the actual lake?
There's trout, there's catfish, bluegill, crappie, red ear, largemouth bass, striper bass, pretty much everything.
Okay.
All the good stuff.
And Tawny, have you guys started doing any ice fishing yet? Do you have to go out and dig a hole in the ice to catch the fish?
No, the lake doesn't cover with ice.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that would be kind of cool.
Well, it would be kind of cool. But, hey, this is Southern California. What are you talking about?
Yep.
But now, I believe that, you guys have some great facilities because I've been there and seen it, and you've got a kind of an interesting museum there that when they built the lake, when they started digging down, they found some very interesting artifacts.
Yeah, that's correct. We also have a visitor center down the hill as well.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you all about the building of the lake, and they have pictures. Really cool little place to go to learn about the lake.
Well, we know that you have marina and you've got all the facilities. And if someone wants to spend a day or two there, I don't think you have cabins and such at the lake, but there's plenty close by. Where would you recommend?
Well, there's Lake Skinner, there's Lake Hemet, there's a bunch of RV parks in Hemet because we're right next to Hemet. So mm-hmm. they just wanted to go like to an RV park. There's plenty,
mm-hmm.
plenty Great. Of different ones.
And there's it seems to me when I was down there, we were at Idlewild, which is up in the mountains, but it's not that far from you.
No, it's not that far at all.
Yeah,
about
cool.
30 to 45 minutes.
Okay, and you are part of the California Parks Organization. California, was it Cal Parks Company?
Mm-hmm, California
okay.
Parks Company.
Okay. Yeah, and they've got a bunch of recreational areas throughout California. But
oh, yeah.
get in touch with Tawny. And real quickly, how do we get in touch with you? One more time. We've got 10 seconds.
All right. Phone number is 951-926-7201.
Thank you, Tawny. And if you didn't write that down, you can go to Fish Talk Radio and listen to it again. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We appreciate you tuning in.
Yellow flies and fish. Lord, honey, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngest. Let's go.